be English radio.
Yeah, and there are some few examples of young people today who are who have whatever they want, who are a little, let's say, richer than the others. So there are some examples of in every era.
I always say that there are some exceptions, yeah, but exceptions do not break the rule.
Yeah, there are some exceptions of those people who are lazy, who use the advantages of today's life, and they're just like going with the flow.
And they take things for granted.
Yeah.
Yes, I accept that even in this era, like in past. Let's, you know, compare the research stuff in today, in today's world, and then compare it to the past world, like the gun eras.
Yeah.
In today, if you want to write a piece of a research or a piece of a report, you don't have to go to libraries and then bring out different books and then be faced up with a pile of books in front of you. You don't have to go through that. No, you have internet, and then you have... Just with a click on a button, you're going to get whatever you need.
Yeah, so true.
So I'm not just saying which one is better. I'm just saying that time has changed. Maybe what you did in past and that thing took too much of time from you, right now it would take only 5 minutes or maybe even half an hour.
Yeah, and this matter that everything is being faster, everything is being easier to be done, doesn't mean that we are not doing anything. It means we are doing more things.
You know, I would say that even those people who would seem that they're not doing anything, you know, let me rephrase myself. Yes, maybe physically they are not doing anything, but
they
mentally they
like
are so active. Mentally they are so, so active, even if they do not... even if they do not have a job or even if they do not share a part in society, but mentally they are pressured. And I guess this pressure, this mental pressure is way heavier than physical activity.
And you know, it comes with expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was asking one of the young people, how do you manage your time? And she was 18, I guess. And she answered, I was asking her about her free time. And she said, you know, I watch my favorite TV shows and my favorite TV programs during the, when I'm eating, while eating. So I asked, okay, why while eating? You know, that it's dangerous and it's not okay for your body. And she said, because I have lots of things to do, because my parents are asking me to go to different classes. I have those computer classes. I have to go to the gym. I have a school. I have my English class. And she named lots of classes. And she said, because of all these things, because I have to be prepared. I mean, she was... convinced that she has to go through a lot of things. She said, because of all those things that I have to do, I have to just keep my free time while eating. During lunch, I watch my favorite programs. So just see an 18-year-old girl is planning her time like this. Can we label them as being lazy?
No. I don't think that any kind of laziness is attached to these people of these generations.
Because our expectations are shaping them. If
you know, I told you, it's not physical, it's mental.
Yeah.
Even if they are not working or sharing any responsibility with the world outside, but they have this mental pressure which is so, so heavy.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, we have to refer to the narrations, to the Islamic narrations and this huge heritage that we have behind us. You know, laziness is always degraded in our religion. Like, there is no way for us to be lazy. Our Prophet has always actually encouraged us to be working, to be active, to share a part in society, to be a worthy human being who is responsible and who is sharing a part in the society.
Yeah.
Even in our supplications, we seek refuge to God from being lazy. So I guess for all the Muslims all around the world, be it young or be it old, we're responsible for not being lazy. We have to be active in all different parts of our life.
Yeah, even Imam Ali alayhi salam in the book of Nahj al-Balagha had mentioned that we need not to be a slave to others when Allah has created us free.
Yeah.
It means we are free, we have this power, and we have this freedom. The same kind of hadith comes from Imam Ali alayhi salam, who says, value time before you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are created free. We have this all time to us. So we have to value it. As a Muslim, we have this responsibility, this duty that we have to know where we are going.
Try to change the routine of your life by learning challenge a word in a day. Even a word in a day. Like, if you're interested in another language, you could actually force yourself into learning something. Not learning language, okay, you're interested in psychology, you go read a page of psychology yeah. every day. Pick a book and then read of it. And then, you know, reading is very important. Like, the Holy Book of Quran always encourages us to think. And this brooding and pondering upon different concepts of life is such an important thing that it has been mentioned too much. Now, I'm not an expert in Quranic verses, but when you recite it, you see that many times you are encouraged to think more and more. And whatever secret God is revealing in that book, he says, it's for those who think. It's yeah, for those so who ponder. So that means it's very important to have a habit of reading books, of reading, of getting knowledge every day, of yeah, gaining exactly. that. This is very important.
And also challenging your life, not just going with the routine, challenging your life and not letting the world decide our pace.
Yeah, so we are not lazy.
Yeah, sure.
This is all for today. I hope you have just enjoyed that. I wish all of us be much more active and have a much better life. Like, to have, you know, I always say that even if you try to help a robin, a bird, like the way Emily Dickinson puts it, if I can help one robin into its nest, if I can help one heart from breaking, if I can stop one heart from breaking, then I shall not live in vain. So my life is all about the things I do, is all about my actions and my words. And I guess this way, if you try to be active in a way that you share a part in society and in the life of your dear ones, then your life is not futile and you're not called as lazy. So I wish God gives us enough of a strength to fight laziness and to be much more active in our life. And until another episode, stay healthy, take care of yourself, and wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
travel to a historical city, the goal is not just to visit museums and beautiful monuments, but you want to mix with the locals and learn about their traditions and culture. In recent years, many historical houses in Iran have turned to accommodation places, which are called Bumgardi. These are neither hotels nor hostels. They are local traditional houses that provide the opportunity for their guests to meet with locals and live like locals, even for a short time. Nartiti is the first house we visited, a beautiful place in the small town of Taft, with several traditional elements. An Iranian Zoroastrian couple owns the house. Traveling also means doing activities that we would not have done elsewhere. Each night, all the travelers who stay in this cozy place meet with the owners of the house, drink tea, and eat freshly picked pomegranate from the backyard. And so, they can experience a little different trip and realize that we all share the same fundamental values and same objectives. We're all part of the same planet, and this makes us stay connected.
Staying at these kinds of places adds to one's understanding of the world and understanding of people. It is something which gives you an understanding that all of us are the same. We're all people. We're much more similar than we are different. And when you start taking governments and other things out of the situation, it's just, we can enjoy being with each other and understanding each other and learning about each other.
Another differentiating element of the house is a wall full of memories of those who stayed a while in this place. A very interesting wall that takes you to a journey around the world.
Une nuit dans cette maison est particulièrement et c'est une expérience particulièrement enrichissante puisque ça permet de partager ces expériences entre les différents voyageurs qui se croisent ici.
In Iran, when a guest or loved one leaves our house, we accompany him or her to the door and throw water to show we want him or her to return very soon. With this compassion, we left that beautiful place to discover other local guest houses. The second place is the House of Baran, which means rain in Farsi, a beautiful adobe house that truly represents the city of Yazd. A very simple house, but artistically decorated and perfectly designed with traditional Persian elements that constantly reminds you of the peaceful spirit of Iranians. A beautiful house with very positive energy. There's a logic behind the location of every piece in decorating this guest house. Some of these elements are symbolic, and some others are still functional.
The house has lots of interesting features for me as a visitor. So Abbas, the owner of this guest house, had to adjust the stairs and make them more comfortable for us, people of modern age, to be able to walk down. Because apparently, back in the old days, they were building these stairs very high. The underground room, and there is about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius temperature difference comparing it to upstairs. So making it a perfect room to chill and maybe take a nap during the hot days of summer. Also during the cold days of winter, this is gonna be a very warm room and area of the building. Few steps down and tiny little room, even gets cooler. Ideal, perfect place to keep your fruits and vegetables during the hot days of summer. Natural cooling system. You know why? Because it's connected to the wind tower room.
There is always a time to say goodbye to even the most beautiful things in this world. What you take from that location or moment is usually what you see or experience towards the end. An unforgettable taste with a beautiful color, and very exciting recipe create an experience that I will take with me from Boron Guest House. The exciting thing about all these traditional guest houses is the fact that they're all different in some ways. One is famous for its traditional elements. One is known for its design and decorations. And the other has some very moving stories about the people who lived there, the people who run it now, their families and their relatives. Local people of different regions of Iran, full of love and passion, the most hospitable hosts that I have ever seen in my life. Jahangir Guest House is one of the few places that you can have a unique experience of meeting local elders, hear their stories, and learn about their experiences. One of the benefits of staying at local guest houses is to have a chance to have this first-hand experience of seeing local handicrafts being made. You see the whole process, and you have a chance to see the craftsman who's behind this precious product, behind making this precious product. And I really enjoy interacting with people, talking to them, and of course learning from them. One thing is to hear or imagine how life was back in the old days, especially inside these gorgeous traditional guest houses. Another thing is to live the life of those people in those days. It might be some very simple acts, or even sometimes symbolic, but they definitely worth the try. It feels amazing. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Strong, what's your The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Amin Rastani.
We have that famous line from Lady Zainab alayhi salam, although there are different opinions on this line, whether it was part of her answer in response to Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. But that famous line that she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, when Ubaydullah said, did you not see what Allah did to you and your brother? Now, whether or not she said it, it is a line that the content of which we agree with, absolutely. Karbala is all beauty. But we have to look at it in a specific lens. And so today I want to go through some of the outer beauties of Ashura, inshallah, and then some of the inner beauties of Ashura, so that we can, inshallah, gain even more perspective and take more inspiration from this day. Before we spoke a few days ago, maybe one of the first lectures that I gave, spoke about the significance and the importance of calamity and hardship and how we deal with that and how much that can have an impact on our closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we spoke about that, talked about how, you know, we have to be patient and all of that. But today we want to go into something else which is higher than patience. And that's going to be rida and satisfaction with the satisfaction of Allah. So these are some of the things that we want to talk about, inshallah, today. Karbala has outer beauties and it has inner beauties. I just made a list of some of the outer beauties, those things that you see on the outside that you sense, that you can explain and describe. And some of those things that we cannot describe will be the inner beauties of Karbala. The outer beauties, for example, we have the sermons of Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura, or before it even. Yeah, these are very eloquent ones, very lofty and high messages that are contained within these sermons that the Imam, he delivers. I'll give examples of each of these as we go. For example, the war cries that these companions and the Ahlul Bayt would recite as they would attack the enemy. Well, these war cries, they're not just war cries. They have very lofty messages in them. They reflect the beliefs of the person who's doing what he's doing, and so on. So we'll go through some of those as well. Some of the du'as of the Imam, these are all outer beauties. The way the Imam speaks to Allah. And of course, we won't have time to go through a lot. An example or two for each of these, inshallah. The Quran of the Imam. Throughout this journey, the Imam keeps reciting verses of Quran wherever they are relevant to the circumstance. And finally, Karbala itself, one of the outer beauties I would say is that the fact that it has something for everybody. You can probably think of more examples, but I'll read a list that I just came up with myself on how Karbala, because it is going to be something that Allah, through it, is going to show mercy to an ummah, as we said before. And not just an ummah, but the ummah throughout all times. Yeah, it's going to have something for everyone. There has to be something in it that everyone can find relevant to them, probably, and their situation. So it will have the convert or the revert Wahab, for example, the one who was Christian who turned Muslim. It'll have the slave John, yeah, the one who is seen as a minority. Yeah, he's not very special in the eyes of those people. His story is going to be something that's relevant to a lot of us. It has the sinner in Hur, who did the worst of the worst, really. But he had a spark in him. He had some respect in him. And that is what saved him eventually, it seems. A lot of us, we connect through Hur. It has the one who didn't have the right beliefs, like Zuhair. It wasn't like he was a proper Shia. They say he was an Uthmani, which means that he felt like Uthman was right in whatever he had done, or, and that those who had assassinated him, it was wrong that they did that. Not wrong in the sense of how Imam Ali looked at it as wrong, but wrong as in he didn't deserve it, and that it wasn't a result of his own negative doing. I mean, even Ahl al-Sunnah, sometimes you watch their sheikhs speak about this, they say, yeah, the first 6 years of his rule, Uthman was, okay, whatever, but the second 6 years were problematic, they say, and that's what led to his assassination. That's what led to the people being fed up to eventually do what they did, although Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't want that to happen. But anyway, there are some who believe that, yeah, that's the case. Zuhair was one of them, they say. You find the old friend in Habib and Muslim. You find the orphan in Qasim. You find the one who's let it all go. He doesn't care anymore. And I forgot his name, the name, the one who protected Imam Hussein alayhi salam when it was time to do salat. Yeah? He stood there and took the arrows. You know, someone had once thought, this is a story that I remember, that they had thought that, okay, what these people, some of them did when Imam Hussein was praying, wasn't that big a deal. Like, I would have done the same if I was in their shoes. This person had this thought, and he saw in his dream that Karbala, he's in Karbala. And that he looks to see which side he's on. Alhamdulillah, he's on the side of Imam Hussein. He says the time for Salat came, and we were supposed to protect Imam Hussein. The first arrow that came at me, I moved away, it hit Imam Hussein. And he says in that dream, and I woke up and I learned my lesson. Don't you ever, ever question or undermine the greatness of what the Shuhada of Karbala did. So you have this person, you look at him, he stands in the face of arrows. For us, we think arrows are these little toys that people play with. If we see what an arrow really looks like in those times, and how much pressure is built to shoot it, to take someone's life, we'll know. It's like a spear that's coming at your face 100 miles an hour. These people. It has the purest blood in it of Ali al-Asghar. It has the sweetness of a sukaina in there. It has loyalty and valor in Abbas. It has the father-son relationship of Ali al-Akbar. It has that brother-sister relationship in Zainab. Like, the list just goes on and on and on. All different flavors. Yes? Because this is something that Allah has cooked up. And Imam Hussein is the one who's executing that plan. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Alright, so these are some of the outward beauties. Let's go into some of these examples. For example, the sermons of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Just look at the way he looks at things. On the night of Ashura, he delivers a sermon. It starts with this. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm going to just, first couple lines. He says, Allahumma inni ahmaduka. Okay, this is a person, they were already going to kill him on the 9th of Muharram, but he asked for some time and respite. You know, the other day I saw one of these popular sheikhs and speakers in Iran. He said something nice. He said, maybe, you know, it's a poetic way of looking at it. He said, maybe he asked for one more night, Imam Hussein, so that Hur had enough time to come on his side. Okay, so this is a person who's executing the plan of Allah. All right, every detail matters. Anyway, this is a person, Imam Hussein, who has asked for one more night. He knows it's over. Everyone knows it's over. So in these times, you're going to be upset. You're going to be complaining. Allahumma inni ahmaduka ala an akramtana bin nubuwa. Oh Allah, I thank you for the fact that you honored us with prophethood. We are connected to the family of prophethood. وَعَلَّمْتَنَا الْقُرْآنَ. As Shia, we can. This is something to remember from Imam Hussein. Prophethood. Oh Allah, you've taught us Qur'an as well. I thank you for that, oh Allah. وَفَقَّهْتَنَا فِي الدِّينَ. And oh Allah, you gave us a deep understanding of religion. These are the three things Imam Hussein on the night of Ashura is thanking Allah for when he's delivering his sermon. What else? The basics. جَعَلْتَ لَنَا أَسْمَاعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً. Oh Allah, you gave us eyes to see. You gave us ears to hear and hearts. Thank you, oh Allah, for all of this. This is beauty. This is saying, I don't care what happens, and we'll get to some more later. I don't care what happens. In the end, oh Allah, I love you so much. I just see the good in you. I don't see any bad. Now, sometimes you're in love with somebody who is not perfect, they actually have bad in them, okay? But you don't see the bad, right? Until you probably get married to them or something, right? In the beginning, you see the good only. After a while, the bad kind of shows itself more and more. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no bad. The bad is in the situation, the circumstances, and the way we look at them. But Imam Hussein, in this case, he's not seeing any of that. He's just seeing, oh, the eyes, I still have eyes, alhamdulillah. I still have ears, alhamdulillah. Is something going to be taken from me? Whatever is left. So you find a lot of beauty in the sermons of Abu Abdullah.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bithanah. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Good night to all listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. Today is Wednesday, 16th of July 2025, corresponding to the 25th of Tir 1404 on the Iranian solar calendar and 20th of Muharram 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. We start off this hour's program with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Our varied radio productions feature will follow, and after that we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And to round up this hour's programs, we have The Key. The program presents short answers to doubts and ambiguities raised about various Islamic and Shiite topics. Stay with us for the next hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali عليه السلام in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam treated all human beings to be equal in the matter of rights and responsibilities, and he did not fix any limit in this behalf of equality among all human beings. And if he did fix any such limits, it was fixed keeping in mind the interests of the public in general, the people. And when we study the character of Imam Ali, we clearly see that he did not violate this freedom, the freedom of the people, the freedom of the public, the freedom in any of his laws, orders, rules, or regulations. And he always kept the public welfare in his view, in all his actions. He dealt equal treatment to both his friends and his foes.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام خالط الناس مخالطة إن متتم معها بكوا عليكم وإن عشتم حنوا إليكم.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "Meet people in such a manner that if you die, they should weep for you, and if you live, they should long for you."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we're talking about the various universal personality traits, if you will, of the Commander of the Believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam. These universal personality traits are such that even in the present day, we are able to implement them, we are able to learn from them, and we are able to apply them in our daily lives. I mean, truly, if you look throughout history and you look at all of the different, for example, philosophers or theologians or religious scholars of any religion or scientists or famous people, we do not find anybody like Imam Ali alayhi salam, or for that matter, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the infallible and immaculate divinely appointed Imams alayhi salam, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who have been able to transcend time and place, you know, where their teachings are still practical, their teachings are still available, and their teachings are still able to be implemented, you know, even after 1,000 years. I mean, really, this is a testament to the very special and unique status that these individuals have as compared to all of humanity. Now, one of the things that we have been humbly doing is talking about some of the nicknames and the alqab of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because first and foremost, many of us don't know these various nicknames of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And of course, if we do know these nicknames, then, you know, it is easier for us to be able to inculcate these things in our own personality, because they were a part of the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So one of the interesting alqab here, the nicknames, is retaining ear. And so it's really interesting here. We find that this nickname of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the retaining ear, is apparently because he retained and he kept intact all of the things that were revealed from the heavens to the Holy Prophet. And so in the Quran, there is a reference to this retaining ear in chapter number 69, verse number 12, that it says, the retaining ear might retain it. And so when this holy verse was revealed, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, it is reported that he said, I have asked my Lord Allah to make this retaining ear to be the ear of Ali alayhi salam. And it's interesting that after this dua and this revelation of the holy verse, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam says that I have never forgotten anything after this dua and supplication of the Holy Prophet, even though it is still improper for me to forget, meaning I wouldn't forget anyways, but after this dua, it was like a seal was set, and I did not forget any of the things that the Holy Prophet taught. What a beautiful, you know, nickname indeed here, and for us as well, as we should try to retain as much of these teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt and the Messenger of Allah and the Holy Quran, peace and blessings upon them all, and implement them in our lives. A very thought-provoking lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi waqbal thanayi wajma bayni wa bayn awliyayi bihaqq Muhammad.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
The name of Shia that we carry for ourselves as a mark of identity is a blessed name. Understand its worth and value. This is a name given by Rasulullah to Ali and those who follow Ali. But let me talk about this name from a different perspective. Normally, we identify ourselves as Muslims. A Muslim is someone who follows Rasulullah. But we also say that a Muslim who believes Imam Ali to be the immediate successor of Rasul is a Shia. So we are Shia Muslim. This is how we identify ourselves. And the word Shia literally means follower. Shi'atu Ali, that was our full name. Gradually it became, you know, short form. Like when Rasulullah came to Medina in after the Hijrah, the name of that city from Yasrib changed to Madinatun Nabi, the city of the Prophet. But gradually people just started saying Medina, 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 and the last part was forgotten. Initially we were known as Shi'atu Ali, the followers of Ali. But gradually, because of the usage of the name, whenever you say Shia now, without even saying Shi'atu Ali, the scholars as well as the lay people know that it refers to the Shia of Ali. So you would look at these two names, Muslim and Shia. Is there any negativity about it? No. The first name, Muslim. All Muslims take pride in relating themselves to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, these days we have so many interfaith dialogue with Christians and Jewish people, and we say we are all three religions part of the Abrahamic faith: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Judaism started with Musa alayhi salam. Christianity started with Isa alayhi salam. When Quran came later on, you know, Quran talks about the dispute between the Ahl Kitab, between the Yahud and the Nasara. Some of them used to say, oh, Ibrahim is Yahudi. The other would say, no, Ibrahim is Nasrani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat in Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 67. He says, ma kana Ibrahim Yahudiyan wala Nasraniyan. Ibrahim came before Musa and Isa. He was not a Yahudi, nor was he a Nasrani. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Not the Muslim in the name of the follower of Rasul, rather somebody who submits himself in a true sense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim was not a Yahudi, neither a Nasrani, وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. He was a pure Muslim who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not from the mushrikeen. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave this name Muslim to Ibrahim.
For listening to this episode of the program To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
sent to release us from the jaws of evil and hate. You're the master of all existence, you hold our fate. I can be free, nobody's holding me. I'm on the road to be where Allah is pleased with me. We can be free.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. This is Kalashnikovia, the show where we discuss the Quran in ways that you might not have seen it discussed before. Here in the studio today, we have with us our dear Sayyid Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhuna.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm Shaykh Mudhafar at your service, of course. Now, there are many times in life where you feel like you might be going astray. And there's many distractions and all sorts of confusing things that come your way. Now, what we want to discuss today is something from the Quran that really keeps you grounded, keeps you humble and at the same time grounded. There's a verse of the Quran where Allah actually says, "We have given you the seven oft-repeated verses," referring to Surah Fatiha, according to the tafsirs. Now, Surah Fatiha is something that we recite over and over and over again. And if you really break it down, it only comes down to one verse of prayer, actual prayer that you're asking Allah, and that is, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us to the right path. Of all the prayers that Allah could have told us to repeat over and over again, we could have asked for rizq, sustenance, we could have asked for good health, we could have asked for this and that. No, Allah wants you to ask for guidance to the right path. Now, the opening question for you, Sayyid, is, we're already on the right path. Why would we need to pray for that every day? We're Muslim. We have the Quran, we have the Ahlul Bayt. We pray five times a day. Why are we asking Allah for guidance? Doesn't make any sense to me. No, I don't understand it.
I don't either. Why are you asking me?
Oh, you don't understand it? All right. Well,
let's just end the show here.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, the concept of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's an ongoing thing.
Okay.
See, what guarantees? So now you're saying that I am on the right track. Alhamdulillah, I have the Quran, I have the Ahlul Bayt. But what guarantees you that you're going to stay on the right track? بَلْعَمْ بِنْ بَعُورَ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا ثَمَّتَ لَهُ كَالْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ وَانْ تُتْرَكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. He reached a maqam, a status. Allah says, we gave him al-ismu al-a'zam. Allah great his name. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He was, his, you know, سَلَخ means like when you take the skin from the body, uh-huh, and then just the bones that are left. Uh-huh. It's like we took everything from him and we sent him down below at the status of a dog. With a dog, if you chase the dog or not, the dog is always out of breath. Allah so says, this guy tongue is from al-ism al-a'zam. How long would it take you and me to reach al-ism al-a'zam?
How long, like in terms of years?
In terms of ibadah or years?
Yeah, I guess it depends. 20
lifetimes, a billion lifetimes? Yeah. Because reaching that stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you al-ism al-a'zam, which is only given to the prophets and the ma'soom, this guy got it.
Ajmal Allah says, at that point, you can perform miracles, you can bring the dead back to life.
You can create universes if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want with the Ismail Alam. And Allah gave it to this guy. And then he deprived it, he took it from him, and he brought it down to a dog status. So, you might think you're on the right track, but what guarantees you're going to stay on the right track if you don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly for guidance?
It reminds me of this hadith where Prophet Isa alayhi salam is with one of his companions, and he walks across the water. So then he teaches his companion how to walk across the water. So Prophet Isa is walking, and this companion is behind him, and he's walking on the water behind the Prophet. And at that moment, he thinks to himself, here's Prophet Isa, one of the Ulul Adham prophets. He's walking on the water, and here I am, walking behind him on the water. And at that moment, he sinks, he falls, and he goes into the depths, and Prophet Isa alayhi salam pulls him out. But it's about this recognition of the fact that you are always in need of Allah.
Exactly. So the idea is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you on a path, it needs to be, you need to persevere to be on that path, and need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you on that path, because Shaytan made a promise to Allah. He says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطُكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. See, this is a straight path. I'm going to sit on that and divert them right and left. That's the job of Shaytan. And who's going to give me the ism and the protection if it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why the Ahl Bayt salamullah alayhim, they say, ask Allah for two things. As-sahha, health, wa husnul aqibah, a good end. Not everyone gets a good end. A lot of people, they live their life as mu'mineen, they die what? That's kuffar. A lot of people do that. And the hadith at the end of times, mind you, it says يصبح المؤمن يصبح المؤمن يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا. A man, a person, in the morning he's a mu'min, by night he's a kafir. ويمسي كافرا ويصبح مؤمنا. At night he could be a kafir, in the morning he could be a mu'min. That's how it changes. It's just a matter of hours. I can send you a video, 30 seconds long. It could manipulate your entire beliefs. But like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So when we have Muslims who change to become Christians or atheists, what happened there? Or you have an atheist who changed to become a Muslim, or a Christian who became a Muslim, what happened there? A matter of ideology. It could change. We don't have guarantees that I'm going to remain like this. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on that ihdina, ihdina, ihdina. Because without the constant hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor you, nor me, nor anyone will ever make it. Because Shaytan and his henchmen, they're always on the way. So that's why we need to constantly repeat that